It's the Grimlord here, and this is Grimm's Halloween Visual Novel Corner. Well, it could be hentai too, because we never know where this is going to go. But yes, as I promised, we're going to do a couple of hours of gore screaming show, because I didn't get enough of it in, and I think it's fair to get you guys just one full day of fucking horror. And this is one of the best horror novels we can do. So we're going to do this, and we're going to do some other stuff. But let's get started. There's something wrong with this girl. He comes to that realization once again. Yuka has the look of an adorable doll, but the person inside doesn't reflect it. It's not just that her personality is rotten. There's something warped and terrifying lurking within her. Something Kyoji and Akane could never fathom dwells inside this girl. Let's go, Akane. This girl is seriously weird. Akane nods wordlessly. The two of them turn around at once. Any concern they might have had for Yuka is long gone. They hurriedly make their way back towards the door. Everything in front of them goes black. Secret skill! Exit blocker! Gah! The man standing before them is so tall that he entirely blots out the light. Wow. His body, covered in a long black cloak, stands well over 2 meters tall. That's strange enough, but to make things even weirder, he wears what looks like a clown's mask over his face. Ooh, Terrifier vibes. No, is this figure even human to begin with? He reminds Kyoji of the monster figures in his room as if he came straight out of one of the flashy action shows that Kyoji's a fan of. His attire almost looks like some cheap costume. Who are you? In response to Kyoji's strained cry, the man takes a big step forward. He grabs Kyoji's hand forcibly, vigorously pumping it up and down. Delighted to acquaint you. A pleasure to make your meeting. Hi, hey, hi, 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 hey! You asked for my name, didn't you? Ask for it, you did? Then I should answer you, answer. I shall answer, I will. The man grandly puffs up his chest. When he releases his breath, the voice seems to shake the entire stone chamber. My name is Gore! My name Gore is! And your name is Gore! And my name is Gore! Gore, 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 Gore! Gore! Screaming Show! Kyoji pulls his arm free and shields Akane behind his back. Well, what the hell are you? The way his voice quivers makes Kyoji feel pathetic. He thought Yuka was strange, scary even, incomprehensible. But this figure is on a whole different level. He's even stranger, even more wrong than Yuka is. Something, perhaps a deeply rooted instinct within his mind, is screaming out in alarm. You're creepy. What are you, some kind of Halloween reject? Who are you supposed to be? Yuka laughs out brightly. That's no good, Gore. You have to be more polite when you greet them, like this. Yuka bends at the waist in a mockery of a bow. Gore cocks his head slightly before nodding. Like this? This? He follows Yuka's example, placing a hand on his chest and bending at the waist in a surprisingly elegant bow. Bow. That's right. Good boy. Yuka claps happily. Gore once again places a hand on his chest and bows, this time turning, to look at Kyoji, who only glares up at him. Out of our way! Now I should entertain our guests! Yes, I should! I said, get out of our way, can't you hear me? How shall I entertain them? What shall we do? Please, just let us go! Akane cries out pitifully. Kyoji pulls Akane by the arm. The two of them try to slip past Gore, but he simply darts into their path. They try to push past again and again, but each time they take a step, Gore's body swerves left or right to block them. He looks like he's having fun, as if they're playing some twisted game of tag. Entertainment! Entertainment! Akane is very important to Yuka after all, because she'll make Yuka happy.
Jimoku?
No, I got it wrong, did I? Akane is to Yuka, Yuka is to Akane, Akane, Yuka, Yuka, Akane, Yuka! As Gore speaks, he violently shakes his head. That's right, I've got it! Yes, I do! Yuka's going to make Akane happy, isn't that right? Yes, yes, it is! Yes, indeed! I said, get out of our way! Kyoji's head is spinning, almost like he's suffocating. Get away! Please, just get out of the way! So now that it's decided, let the show begin! It's like Gore can't hear what Kyoji and Akane are saying. He waves his hands over each other as if he's performing a magic trick. In the blink of an eye, two sock puppets appear on his hands. They look familiar. Is that me? Akane's voice is shivering. The puppet has cute eyes made from buttons and chestnut hair that's tied into a ponytail. It really does look like Akane. The puppet on his other hand looks like Yuka. What is he trying to do? As Kyoji and Akane look on speechlessly as Gore starts talking in high-pitched falsetto. I'm Akane! I'm Yuka! The puppets of Akane on Gore's left hand starts wiggling around in sync with the movements of his hand. Poor Yuka-chan! She's sickly and I'm healthy! Her mommy's weird, her daddy's gone, I've got a good family, I'm so happy! She can't go to school, but school is so much fun. She has no friends. I'm the most popular girl in class. I'm so happy. Akane starts shivering, but Gore continues without pause. I know what I'll do. I'll be your friend. I'll do it for poor Yuka-chan. Stop it. Oh, I'm so kind. How can I be so kind? Now Kyoji's gonna be all over me. I said stop it. Kyoji tries to grab Gore's hands in an attempt to get rid of those dolls. But Gore's hands easily dodge away from Kyoji's. It's like trying to catch fog. Just when Kyoji thinks he's managed to catch the ends of his sleeve, it turns out he's missed him by mere centimeters. It's a strange feeling, like Gore's very existence is slipping between his fingers. As Gore continues, his voice becomes even more shrill. I understand. Yuka-chan is just a little rebellious, that's all. She's being difficult because she's such a poor thing. So being the nice, privileged girl that I am, I'll forgive her! Stop it! Because compared to poor, unfortunate little Yuka-chan, I'm so, so happy! I never thought that. Looking at Yuka-chan makes me feel so happy about myself. Yuka jumps up and down, cheering and clapping her hands. Kyoji can see tears rolling down Akane's cheeks in the dull, reddish light. Akane, who would never allow herself to show tears to anyone, is crying. Haven't you had enough already? Kyoji blindly tries to grab Gore's hands, but Gore continues to dodge away with dance-like steps. It feels like Kyoji's chasing his own shadow. Huh? You don't like it? Talk about a tough audience, complaining all the time. I guess that's just how it goes. Yes, it is. Yes, indeed. The audience gets mad when you betray their expectations. That's how it goes, so... We're gonna need something a little more hardcore! Entertainment's gonna be extreme! Once again, Gore waves his hands over... one over the other. Suddenly, the puppet shaped like Yuka changes into one shaped like Kyoji. Gore's body begins to rise as he rubs the two dolls together. What the fuck? Ah! Kyoji's cock is touching me there! I've never felt anything like this before! I'm getting so excited! Okay! Alright! Now they're gonna get pissed! No! Akane whispers under her breath. Kyoji can feel himself turning pale. How does this man know about what happened back then? That's true. Gore continues wiggling his body around in an exaggerated manner as he keeps on speaking. Stop, stop, don't stop! Ah, I'm pinned down and can't run away, so it's not my fault if this feels good. I'm not a bad girl, lucky me! But oh no, what if I end up having a baby? Oh, woe is me! No, this feels good! Ah, what's this white stuff? It's so dirty! Stop it! Kyoji howls, but that's all he can do. His voice echoes throughout the underground chamber before finally fading away. A strange silence settles over them. No one says a word. All Kyoji can hear is Akane's subdued sobbing. Yuka breaks the silence, venomously spitting out her words. Quiet down already, you! You're such an annoying woman. If you didn't cry, Kyoji wouldn't shout at me. This is all your fault, you know. What do we do? Do we do her? Do we? I don't want that thing to do anybody. Gore stretches towards Yuka like a jack-in-the-box. Right, you must be getting hungry, Gore. Now's the time to run. Very hungry, positively hungry, negatively hungry, yes, very, very hungry. What should we do? What the hell are you talking about? He hides Akane behind his back as she clings to him. Yuka puts a finger on her chin and cocks her head, staring at Akane and Kyoji in turn. Answer me! Really, what should we do? I said answer me, what are you, deaf? Let us have a little taste! Akane lets out a shrill scream behind him. Her voice echoes, piercing his eardrums. Akane! When Kyoji looks behind him, he sees something unbelievable. The hem of Gore's black cloak gets turned up slightly as a slimy organ, like the tentacle of an octopus or squid. What? Oh, shit. Okay, let's read that again. The hem of Gore's black cloak gets turned up slightly as a slimy organ, like the tentacle of an octopus or squid, creeps out of it. The organ sneaks under Akane's skirt, writhing beneath it. Akane! Kyoji lunges at Akane and tears the thing away from her. The sensation reminds him of touching an earthworm, slimy. It makes even the hair on his body stand. Oh, let's try that one again. It makes every hair on his body stand on end. The thing extending from Gore retracts and returns inside his robe. Gore nods furiously, moving so fast that it seems like his neck should snap. The flavor hasn't quite settled in yet. Yes, yes, indeed. I'll need to make her a bit tastier. Hearing him, Yuka nods with a complicated expression. Yeah, let's let her sit for the time being. She moves past Akane and Kyoji, who stand frozen in shock, and approaches Gore. Gore gently extends his hand out towards her, picking up Yuka on his arm. It looks briefly like Gore is leaping a ways into the air. Then their outlines become hazy and they vanish into thin air. Kyoji and Akane remain silent for a long moment. They're left speechless. Even if they could find the words, their throats are too tightly clenched to utter a sound. They simply grip each other's hands, staring at the empty space Yuka and Gore occupied just a moment ago. Akane shivers uncontrollably, which makes Kyoji realize that he, too, is shaking. He reaches out to comfort her, but he can see that his fingers are trembling. What was that, right? When he asks Akane that with an awkward smile, his voice comes out in a thin, reedy tone. It doesn't make sense, like something out of a movie. None of this makes any sense. What did they just see? Normally, Kyoji would assume this was all some trick. A trick he can't understand, sure, but there isn't any other explanation. But some part of his mind asks him if he truly thinks this was all just a trick, a part that Gilgi does his best to ignore. What was it if not a trick? Akane. Don't let them get to you, Akane. Akane curls up, shivering. I'm sorry, I couldn't protect you. That finally makes Akane react. Kyoji! Back then, and now too. It must have been awful. I should have stopped them sooner. No, it's not your fault. I'm the one who went after her today. Akane hangs her head before continuing. And back then, you had no choice. I'm the one who got you involved, so don't... She can't bring herself to say more. Feeling the implicit meaning behind her words, Kyoji swallows down what he was going to say. Anyway, let's get out of here. The two of them go back the way they came. They pass through the centipede-infested corridor and return to the bottom of the well. However, once they make it there, the two of them freeze up. The ladder's gone. What remains of the evening sun filters in from above. Akane and Kyoji hurry to that dark crimson light. They hear Yuka laughing from above. The missing rope ladder must be her doing. You little... Lower the ladder! Nope, you're not getting out till she's a little tastier. What are you talking? But before Kyoji can finish his sentence, he hears a heavy rumbling sound. Yuka, no, probably Gore, begins dragging the lid back over the well. He can hear Yuka laughing from the other side. Yuka-chan, open up! Akane shouts in vain as the hole closes little by little. Kyoji clings to the surrounding walls, looking for a way to climb up. But the opening above shrinks from a semicircle down to a slender crescent. The thin orange rays of light fade away. As they do, Kyoji falls off the wall and lands on his rear. Kyoji, are you alright? Yeah, I'm fine. He sits up and slams his fist against the ground. Damn it, she trapped us down here! They spend a few minutes shouting upwards at the top of their lungs, hoping someone might hear them. They hoped someone, Yuka's mother or some other passerby, would notice them. For all they care, it'd be fine if Yuka had a change of heart and opened the lid back up. All they want is to escape. But no one ever comes here to begin with. Eventually, Kyoji and Yuka exhaust themselves squatting down on the ground. Hey! Unable to give up just yet, Kyoji raised his ragged voice one last time. Give it up, Kyoji. You'll just tire yourself out. But... No one passes by here, but we'll be fine. Someone will come looking for us soon enough. Akane sounds like she's trying to convince herself. Alright, our phones. Do you have a signal? Kyoji takes out the figurine Shinta gave him and turns on its light again. Both of them take out their phones and hold them under the light. No, no bars. None here either. I guess that only makes sense. We're underground. Wouldn't be a problem if they had 5G. Sighing, they close their phones and put them back in their pockets. Kyoji turns off the figurine's light as well. You're turning it off? If I leave it on, it'll just eat through its battery, right? I don't think this thing is made to last long. Right. Left with nothing more to say, the two of them fall silent. Kyoji feels like he's experiencing true silence for the very first time. They're deep underground in the middle of the mountains. All they can hear is each other's breathing and the beating of their own hearts. It really makes him realize how noisy everyday life usually is. Even when he was laying in bed with the TV off, he could always hear some kind of noise coming from somewhere. It was just an inherent truth of living around other people. But this place is different. If he didn't have Akane's warmth huddling against him, he might lose his mind. Hey, Kyoji? Yeah? What do we do now? That's the big question, huh? Their bags should still be lying around near the well. Assuming they were still there, there's a good chance that someone would eventually see them. But he has a hard time believing Yuka, who he can only assume wishes him and Akane ill, would simply leave their bags there to be found. He can only pray that Yuka failed to see their bags lying in the weeds. But if she did hide their bags, Shinta, Kiika, and Aoi, and Aoi also know about Yuka, and they also know that Akane is worried about her. If they go missing, it's not impossible they will come here to look for them. No, they definitely will. Kyoji clenches his fist hard in his lap. Akane! He can feel Akane shivering slightly next to him. Are you cold? Yeah, a little. Her words trail off as she shivers again. He hears Akane scratching her head. The sound puts an uneasy smile on his face. She's always had this kind of habit of scratching her head whenever she lies, ever since she was a kid. It's not that she's entirely lying about being cold, of course. Kyoji can't be sure how long it's been since the lid of the well was closed, but with the sun setting late in the day, the air is cooler now. With a sudden surge of energy, Kyoji gets to his feet. What is it? I just figured that even if someone's coming to find us here, just sitting around is depressing. Let's move around a bit. Yeah. Akane's voice perks up. Knowing her, he figures that some exercise will help keep her spirits up. Right, so what do? Calisthenics! Why don't we have a look in the other room? How about we search around here, down here one more time? Maybe there's another passageway. I mean, obviously, because Yuka-chan fucking went through it and made it on... I don't know. It's just an idea, but it doesn't seem like a bad one. Someone went through the trouble of digging a tunnel down here in the well and installing those sturdy doors. Yeah, that is true. Although Kyoji has no idea what it was used for, but the entire structure is strange. It's so strange that he shouldn't be surprised if there were another passage or two they didn't know about. But what if we're not here when someone comes looking for us? I mean, this tunnel isn't that deep. If we raise our voice, it echoes pretty far. I guess you're right. Akane nods, albeit uneasily. Then let's get going. Kyoji turns on his light again, illuminating the darkness with its faint glow. Give me your hand, Akane. Okay. The two of them squeeze through the cramped tunnel once again. The second time around, they already know what to expect, and it feels nowhere near as long as it did earlier. Kyoji pushes the heavy door open. The lamps that were lit when Yuka and Gore were present have since gone out. It's dark. Yeah. Maybe Kyoji's imagining it, but it feels like the air is moving slightly. As Kyoji looks around, searching for the place the draft is blowing from, Akane seems to notice the same thing. Hey, do you feel a breeze? You feel it too? Their hands squeeze harder. Alright, let's look around and see if we can find a way out. Yeah. When they were here earlier, they were so focused on Yuka and Gore that they didn't pay attention to the chamber's interior. This time, Kyoji examines the room carefully in the dim light from his keychain. He opens his eyes wide as he sees faint writing scrawled all across the wall. The writing is so faded it's hard to see at all, as if it was done in pencil a long time ago. It's also crooked and messy, as if written by a child's hand. Eventually, though, he manages to decipher it. Hate, 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 make them pay, make them suffer. Suffer and die, pay with their lives and then some. I'll kill them all, stab them with a knife. What do you think this is, Akane? A message? If this is a message, it must have been written by someone who was trapped down here, and whoever wrote this must have been put through some terrible stuff. Kyoji carefully sweeps his hand across the wall. That bit of writing they just read isn't the only one. In fact, nearly every inch of the wall is covered in scribbles. This is too creepy, he swallows nervously. All he can see in the faint rays of light are curses and words of malediction. Kill. Die. 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 Sounds like a fucking death metal song, right? Stupid idiots, hope you die. I'll never forget this. Worthless garbage, hag, die. The writings go on and on. The startling volume of scribbles forms a triangle on the wall. Even when he looks at the floor, he only sees more enraged raving. It feels like the words are converging around their feet. Kyoji doesn't know how it was managed, but the scribbles somehow extend up onto the ceiling. It feels as though the words above might come crashing down upon them. The scribbles are those of a child filled with raw, unpretentious emotion. Ah, we're standing in the heart of a crucible of curses. Kyoji! Akane's voice comes out in a borderline scream. Hey guys, when they say names, I'm not gonna read them because they say them, so there's no use in me doing that. Yeah, let's get out of here already. The last spot the light reaches is a hole in the wall. It's large enough for a person to fit through. He exchanges gazes with Akane. The two of them nod at each other. They don't want to stay here either, especially after reading all these curses. They can't bring themselves to just go back the way they came and wait to be rescued. It feels like all those scribbled words might somehow chase them down. Going into this hole is a gamble, but it feels like it's the best option they have. They can fit through the hole if Kyoji bends down a bit. The tunnel beyond it is definitely man-made with its flat floor. I think we can go through here. Kyoji looks at Akane and gives her a nod. I'll go first. Okay. When he bends over to go through the hole and his hand brushes against its edge, he realizes that even these walls are covered in writing. I'm scared. Let me out. I'm sorry. Please let me out of here. Kyoji, is something wrong? Akane asks him dubiously, but he only shakes his head. It's nothing. Let's go. It's easy enough to move down this path at first. He has no idea where it leads, since his light is too faint to reach far into the darkness. But the breeze of fresh-smelling air makes it clear that this path eventually leads outside. The exposed earth is rough and lined with rock. This passage feels more like a cave than anything else, but it's clear that somebody intentionally carved this path. There are signs of human hands and tools at work here. The ground is level and the walls are mostly vertical. The rock has been obviously chiseled. If they keep following this tunnel, they might make it outside. Kyoji clings to this hope. The only frightening thing is that here and there, parts of the tunnel ceiling have caved in. There are large rocks lying around that have seemingly fallen as their shapes match holes in the rocks above. Watch your step, Akane. It's hard to tell how far they've traveled through this cavern already, but it doesn't feel like it's been that long. Would they maybe have been better off staying back in that room? The question resurfaces in his thoughts again and again as they continue walking. The Kyoji's light starts to grow thick. Then, then Kyoji's light starts to grow dim. Is the battery dying? Damn it, please hang on. Oh shit. He swings the light around in a futile effort to keep it alive, but soon enough it goes out. Turn on, please turn on. He presses on the belly of the monster keychain over and over, but the light doesn't turn back on. Fine, let's keep going. Kyoji squeezes Akane's hand, who responds with a yes that's so small and husky he questions if she actually said anything, or he's just imagining things. After that, he desperately focuses on nothing else but walking forward. His feet feel his way through the darkness as he brushes his other hand along the wall in an attempt to keep moving in the same direction. Every nerve in his body is dedicated towards that task. Akane breathes as little and as shallow as she can as they walk. She squeezes his hand so tightly that his fingers are gradually turning numb. She's beside herself with anxiety. Should he say something? But what? What if he speaks up only for someone other than Akane to answer him? Even that stupid thought is enough to make Kyoji shudder. He wants to speak to her, but he's scared. He can feel his heart pounding in his ears, and so... Hey, Kyoji. Akane's voice is definitely the same familiar voice he knows. Hearing it has Kyoji sighing in relief. Hmm? About earlier. Earlier? After hesitating for a bit, Akane manages to mutter the rest of her thoughts. About what that Gore guy said, he might have actually been onto something. What are you saying? Akane continues in a monotone. I might have been looking down on Yuka-chan. Akane. I didn't realize it until... I didn't realize it until he put it like that, but I'm really arrogant, aren't I? I kept pitying her, talking like I had to take care of her. Yuka realized it from the start, and that's why she... Is that really what you think about yourself, Akane? Akane falls silent for a short moment before replying in a low voice. No, I didn't mean it like that, at least. But the more I think about it, the less sure I am. Idiot. The Kazuyagi Akane I know isn't smart enough to burn brain power on stuff like that. Kyoji squeezes Akane's hand. Plus, even if that guy was right, it's not like you were doing all that out of a feeling of superiority, right? No one acts purely on a single emotion. Not me, not you, not anyone. Akane falls quiet for a bit again. But when she next speaks up, her voice is calmer and with most of its usual strength. You're more amazing than I give you credit for. It took you this long to realize that? How dumb are you? After they walk a few more meters, the tunnel takes a turn. The thinnest rays of light creep inside. Kyoji and Akane immediately look at each other. This could be the way out. Yeah, let's go. But rushing forward turns out to be a bad idea. The ground suddenly drops out beneath him, making Kyoji slip and spectacularly tumble over. Ow. He reflexively lets go of Akane's hand, but it's too late. He loses his balance and falls down, landing hard on his back. A moment later, he feels another hard impact, this time from above. Akane slipped and fallen on top of him. Ow. Ah, Kyoji, I'm sorry, are you alright? I'm fine. Ow. Kyoji sits up, rubbing his back. What is this place? I don't know. His palms touch level, compacted soil. Someone has walked this path before. It's a bit different from the ground they've been on so far. As his eyes adjust to what little light there is, he begins to make out their surroundings. The drop isn't that big, maybe a meter at most. That's why they weren't seriously hurt. The space is about 4 meters wide and not too deep. The far end, maybe a good 10 meters ahead, lies in darkness. The light is shining in from that direction, and because of that, the far side is bathed in shadows, so it's hard to make out anything. It's a room, no, a passageway. I don't know. Ah! Akane, what's wrong? But only after saying that does Kyoji realize the position they've ended up in. Akane is sitting on Kyoji's lap, effectively straddling him. His skirt is flipped up, letting him feel her soft flesh against his thighs. Akane is cradling her right leg, pushing her center of gravity off. Her weight sinks into Kyoji, pressing her form against his. He can feel every detail of her body, even through his uniform trousers. What am I thinking about at a time like this? I mean, I think it's a bad time, but I think they're also doing that out of desperation because they're gonna die. Like, a person thinks they might die in a situation like this, so they might as well. I guess it's like a desperate fuck or something. Really weird that I'm gonna have to do a sex scene in this kind of, ugh. We gotta do it though. I mean, it's part of the thing. But he can feel his body heat surging as blood converges in his crotch. No, settle down. Whoa. Akane leaps off his legs with a screech. So sorry I fell on top of you. I'm too heavy, aren't I? Maybe he's imagining it, but there was an awkward pause for a moment there. As if nothing happened, Kyoji asks Akane, no, how's your leg though? But when Kyoji reaches towards her, Akane wordlessly retreats away. Fear disfigures her features. Kyoji pulls his arm back. Sorry. Akane hangs her head. I'm fine, really. Okay. Silence. Fighting the awkward atmosphere, Kyoji stands up without offering Akane a hand. For now, let's head in this direction. There's probably a way out past here. They were building sexual tension, but it felt kind of, you know, just a little much. Like, more reading than needed to be. Kyoji's presumed exit turns out to be blocked by yet another metallic door, not unlike a double-winged fire door. Sitting in front of the door are what looked to be sandbags, wooden crates, unidentifiable machine parts, and heavy bits of metal. Scraps of cloth and sheets of paper litter the ground. Let's get this stuff out of the way. Okay. The two of them start moving aside the objects blocking the door. Kyoji actively tries not to think about what happened a moment ago. All these objects were piled up into a small mountain barricading the door. Moving it is all taxing work. Kyoji can't tell what this place was built for. He contemplates asking Akane for her opinion, but the memory of what just happened chokes him up, leaving him unable to speak to her. My guess is it's a mine of some sort. In the end, he continues working in silence. Once most of the junk is cleared away from the door, Kyoji reaches for the handle. He grabs the handle and pushes hard. He feels it move ever so slightly. Concerned, Akane asks him, will it open? I can't tell. He pushes with both arms, mustering every drop of strength he can. Maybe it's a pull door. He then tries pulling, but he doesn't sense any traces of movement like when he was pushing. Doesn't seem so. Let's try pushing it again. Akane positions herself beside him, working together with him to try pushing the door open. The door lets out a dragging sound as it lightly creaks, but it doesn't move much at all. 1, 2. Akane and Kyoji brace their shoulders against the door, pushing with every bit of force their bodies can manage. You know, they could just have some of that shit in their hand, you know, and just... Yeah! The door opens slightly. What is this? Looking through the crack, Kyoji furrows his brow. It looks like there's a bar there. We could break it. There's an iron bar laid across the door's opposite side, which prevents it from being opened. However, Kyoji and Akane's pushing has bent the bar enough to allow the door to crack open. Akane, try pushing it. Okay, this is when you physically have to break a fucking... Like, I don't even know if that's possible. I guess with enough force? Somebody will tell me, yeah, with enough force you can break that fucking bar. I don't know about two high schooler kids with a bunch... I mean, they have all this shit they can push against it. Akane, try pushing it with all your 98-pound strength. Okay. With Akane pushing one side of the door, double door open, Kyoji tries to move the bar out of the way. He reaches through the small crank between the doors, grabbing the bar and trying to yank it sideways. But it only rattles slightly, refusing to comply. The bar probably moves upward. Damn it, open up already. The sound of rattling and metal grinding against metal rings out. The smell of moist soil and the fragrance of grass waft in. He can see the forest darkened by the night. The colors of the sky, bleached by moonlight, spills between the trees, dazzling him. If only they could get out there. Open up! Just open up! Kyoji rams the door over and over. Freedom is within arm's reach. You can see it right in front of him. If only they could get out, get through here. Kyoji throws himself against the door again and again, ignoring his building exhaustion. Somebody! Is anybody out there? Akane's voice fades into the trees. Help us! Please! Anybody! But just as Akane's voice starts to grow ragged from shouting so much, they finally get a response. Is someone in there? Somebody heard us! Kyoji's and Akane's faces light up. That voice's owner approaches the door Kyoji managed to force slightly open. It's clear from the person's voice that he's an adult man, but because his back is to the light, Kyoji can't make out his face. The realization that the person's voice is familiar to him crosses Kyoji's mind for a moment, but he's not in a position to particularly care who it might be. We're trapped in here! Please, open the door! Trapped in there, eh? The person on the other side seems to scoff. I'll get open. Excuse me, I'll get it open. Give me a minute. Half an hour or so later, Kyoji and Akane are sitting in a car on the way to the hospital. The vehicle reeks of cigarette smoke, its interior is dusty with a residue. Kyoji grumpily rests his cheek on his hand. Never would have thought this guy would be the one to save us. And the driver's seat is none other than the shady man they found in front of Yuka's place. Hey. So that dude was actually cool. Okay, so I'm sorry, guys. I said that dude kind of had bad vibes, but that's me. In stark contrast to his vagrant appearance, he drives a silver sports car. That's also my bad, because, you know, some guys, they make themselves kind of look like they're not that much like a vagrant, so people won't mess with them, even though they might have a lot going on. TFM called this dressing like a bum, so people won't approach you, or like women will approach you for your money. Like, if you're good, if you've got a lot of money, you don't really... Obviously, you don't dress like you have money if you're going anywhere where there's a lot of people, because people will look at you even if you don't have money if you dress like it. Like, if you have a real nice suit on and it's not some special occasion and you look like you just, you know, you look like you shop at somewhere that everybody else ain't shopping at, pretty much. You got a nice, you know what they say about that wristwatch? Got your nice wristwatch and everything else. People see that. They see those luxury items on you. So that's why this guy, who even drives a nice silver sports car, he may have some money, but he doesn't dress like he has money, so people won't mess with him. It's a very good thing to do. The back is very cramped, and Kyoji's basically squeezed into a seat like a sardine in a can. Akane says nothing. She probably still feels awkward about what happened earlier. Should he say something? While he's grappling with that question, Akane whispers to him. Maybe our phones would have worked by the door. Actually, yeah, they probably would have, and that's a good thing, but still, I'd kind of trust this guy. For now. Maybe. That close to the open air, their phones might have had a signal. They were so panicked, it didn't occur to them. That man who's been quiet so far finally speaks up. What are your names? I'm... Akane starts to answer, but Kyoji intervenes. Don't tell him. But you shouldn't give your name to a guy as shady as him, and besides, it's only polite to give you... You're going to say I should give my name before asking yours, huh? Kyoji frowns as the man takes the words out of his mouth. So what if I am? Not a shred of originality to you. Besides, I just saved your lives. I think that entitles me to your names, don't you? Oh, right. And let me get out in front of another one. Kyoji can see the man's smirk reflected in the mirror. Don't say no one asked for your help. It's such a hackneyed line. In any way, you definitely did ask. That is true. They cannot go in there and say, oh, we never asked for your help. They were literally fucking screaming, hoping this man was going to come save them. Getting beaten to the punch so many times drains Kyoji of his desire to resist this man any longer. And so he answers with another frown. Fine, I'm Jinno Kyoji. And I'm Kazuyagi Akane. I'm Kazuyagi Akane. Thank you for helping us back there. Akane politely thanks the man, but the man doesn't respond. Oh, but we don't need to go to the hospital. We have to get home. Do you two have any idea how you look right now? With a cigarette in his mouth, the man glances at them through the rearview mirror. Your uniforms are filthy and tattered, and you're covered in wounds, plus your legs hurt, isn't it? Akane reflexively touches her right leg. Akane, is he right? Yeah, but it's nothing major. Akane nods bashfully, her voice feeble. Kyoji never noticed. She must have sprained it when she fell into the hole. She's probably pretending to be fine, even if it was too painful for her to stand. The hospital will let your families know where you are. But more importantly, what happened? You weren't out on a date in there, were you? That's none of your business, is it? Kyoji snaps at him, but the man only smiles. Don't take it out on me because you didn't notice your girlfriend got hurt. What did you say? He said, what did you just say? Kyoji shoots up in his seat, but the man doesn't seem fazed by his reaction at all. What I'm saying is that only a stupid brat thinks that shouting solves anything. Or do you want to get out here? If you'd like, I can take your girlfriend to the hospital myself. I don't have time to do favors for a screeching brat. After thinking it through, Kyoji settles back down. I'm not getting out. I wouldn't leave Akane alone with a guy like you. The man cracks a thin smile. The car turns along a wide curve before finally entering the hospital parking lot. After their admission to the hospital, Akane gets examined first. While she's being seen, Kyoji calls her parents and Yamiko. Akane's parents were apparently very worried about her. They tell him that they'll be there as soon as they can. Kyoji can't blame them. The clocks tell him it's past 10 in the evening. With all the disappearances lately, they must have been worried sick. Yamiko immediately asks him which hospital he's in, only to hang up right after saying she's on her way. Akane's examination finds that she sprained her ankle. It's a pretty bad sprain, too. Bad enough that by now she's become feverish. Oh, shit. The doctor says she should spend the night at the hospital and be on the safe side, so she's been tucked into bed. They weren't as angry as I thought. I guess, but they'll be yelling like hell later. Still, Akane's voice sounds much firmer than before. When Akane's parents and Yamiko showed up, Kyoji and Akane told them the gist of what happened, minus the strangest parts. They said they saw a girl they know going down into the well, so they followed her. Kyoji and Akane got into trouble together a lot back when they were kids. It wasn't unusual at all for them to both come back. Excuse me, guys. It wasn't unusual at all for them both to come home bruised all over. As Akane's mother put it, they're back to their old tricks. Akane's parents ultimately scold Kyoji alongside Akane, but they seem like they're in good spirits, perhaps because they're simply relieved the two of them are okay. Her parents end up going home without her. Akane may be staying in the hospital for the night, but they have to take care of her two younger brothers. That leaves Yamako, Akane, and Kyoji alone in the room. Of course I'm gonna do a little yelling. Seriously, I can't believe you'd be that reckless. Sorry. Kyoji hangs his head. When it comes to Yamako, all he can really do is earnestly apologize. Yamako cracks a tired smile and sighs. Well, still, you two are lucky Yoshiki was passing through. Don't forget to thank him. Kyoji frowns, refusing to respond to that. Much to his surprise, it turns out that the shady man is a friend of Yamako's. See? And I'd say he's a pretty cool-looking dude. Like the badass dude you'd see in the old anime, you know? His name is Yatsuse Yoshiki. He's from right here in Kurahito. He went off to marry a friend of mine, but after his wife passed away, he ended up coming back. Oh, and he'll be staying at our place for a while. What? That news is like a bolt from the blue. Kyoji can only exclaim in loud disbelief, earning himself a scolding by the nurse. Once he lowers his voice again, he grumbles. Why does this creep have to stay in our house? Hey, he saved you back there, so don't call him a creep. When did you become such an ungrateful boy? I mean, he... Yoshiki, who has been listening silently up until now, chuckles. Yumikawa, cut him some slack. He's a male, after all. What the hell you mean by male? Male animals react badly to seeing stronger males in their territory. That's why you keep snapping at me, right? And he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Yoshiki is playing the alpha right now, and fucking Kyoji cannot stand it. Yoshiki is the guy that Kyoji fucking wants to be. When he puts it like that, Kyoji feels ashamed for snapping at him. All he can do is fall silent with a sour expression on his face. Yoshiki went out to the lobby to smoke in accordance with the hospital's strict no-smoking policy in the wards. When he comes back, though, he walks in without so much as a knock. He slips into the room with a flap of his long black coat. Oh, speak of the devil, we were just talking about you. About me? Yamako speaks jokingly. Yes, about how shady looking you are. You'd think you were a hardened criminal or something. Did you get pulled over for questioning on the way here? Maybe you don't know about it, but there's been a string of disappearances around here recently. Disappearances? Yoshiki raises an eyebrow. Do you know something about them? No. Actually, I wanted to ask you two something. Unlike before, Yoshiki's tone is now slightly stiff. What were you doing in there? Huh? Like we said earlier, we... What was it? You headed down there to look for a girl you know? Just who was that girl? Where did you meet her? How old is she and what's her name? Yoshiki, stop that. What are you... Yoshiki ignores Yamako's admonishment and continues his barrage of questions. Did you pick something up? Did you maybe find something down there? A major change from before, he's entirely lost his composure now. I knew it. I just don't like this guy. Kyoji angrily glares into Yoshiki's eyes through the man's sunglasses. Why the interrogation? I don't think I need to answer that. Rage builds inside of Kyoji. The way this guy talked about males already put Kyoji on edge. He can't stand his attitude at all. Fine. I don't think I need to answer your questions either then. You can throw my words back at me all you want, but I have a reason I can't tell you. Don't put me on the same level as a stubborn oaf like you. What? Why do you have to be so annoying? Cut it out, Kyoji! Akane shouts at him from her bed. Just stop it already, this conversation is going nowhere. But Akane... Akane sits up, gazing directly at Yoshiki. The girl's name is Yuka. She lives in the area. We met her when we helped Yamako-san with some research. Oh, right. You did mention something like that. Where was this? Sorry. Do you know the Hokora up from Nishimori Shrine? There's a well past that. We met her around there. A well. Even though his sunglasses make it difficult to read his expression, the complicated look on his face is still visible. You found the woman at the well? Kyoji and Akane exchange a glance. Woman doesn't sound right. She's definitely younger than us. Yeah, just a little girl. Can you describe her? She's cute. She's got big eyes that tilt inward like a cat's, and she's got long hair. Akane pauses for thought before cocking her head. As for what happened to her... We ended up there because we followed Yuka, but, you see... Akane's voice falters. Of course it would. How could she explain what happened in a way anyone would believe? We lost sight of her at some point. After some thought, she manages to say that. It's the only way she can describe it. She left you behind? Yeah. And not only that, she pulled the lid back over the wall and trapped us down there. Wait, what? What's that girl's problem? That's outrageous! But in contrast to Yamako's angry outburst, Yoshiki turns pensive and speaks softly. I see, so that's how you got trapped inside. But the bomb shelter where you found those two... It's pretty far from the well. I can't believe they're connected. Wow, that's a bomb shelter. I thought it was a mine. Yoshiki doesn't respond to her words. Indeed, the cave-like place where he found Kyoji and Akane is an old bomb shelter used in the war. What's more, that bomb shelter is in the next town over. Yoshiki has likely decided there's no point in asking Kyoji, so he instead turns to Akane and continues questioning her. Did you find anything inside? I didn't. What about you, Kyoji? No, I didn't see anything to take. Yoshiki nods, seemingly satisfied with her answer. Alright. He then turns on his heel and heads for the door. What's your problem? We answered your questions. Could you say a word of thanks? I think she answered my questions for the most part, not you. Yoshiki scoffs, causing Kyoji's temper to flare up again. Why does everything this guy says frustrate him so much? Yumikawa, I'll go on ahead to the car.
Fine, we'll be there soon. Yoshiki then turns to look at Akane. Sorry for bothering you with your fever. Take it easy and rest for the day. He closes the door behind him as he leaves. It's not so bad after all, huh? Akane's remark provokes a harsh response from Kyoji. Huh, I don't know what you're talking about. He's a creep. After that, the three of them leave Akane in the hospital and head home. While Akane was being examined, Yoshiki collected their bags from the well. As much as Kyoji dislikes him, he has to thank Yoshiki for that much, at least. He can't bring himself to practice his guitar like he usually does every night, so he simply crawls into bed. Too much happened today. It feels like a whole week's worth of events happened in just this one day. Going to school with Akane, fighting with Sadashima, going into the well, getting trapped inside, making it out, and then going to the hospital. But really, what in the world happened back there? Kyoji bites his lip. Yuka and Gore screaming show. It must have been a dream or a delusion. It feels like if he doesn't explain what happened in that way, the world around him might unravel at the seams. That terrible puppet show, the disgusting tentacle that crept out of that man, Gore, the way those two disappeared into thin air, and that corridor covered floor to ceiling in curses. All these mysterious things are far beyond the scope of the world Kyoji knows. He doesn't understand even a single one of them, much less all of them. I'm tired. He decides to go to sleep, but just when he tries to bury his face in his pillow, the door opens without any warning. Hey! It's Yoshiki, but without his sunglasses and usual long coat, he actually looks decent. He's surprisingly young, clean-shaven. Kyoji might think he's the same age as Yamako. What the hell, at least not before you come in. As usual, Yoshiki says nothing. His gaze falls on the guitar sitting against Kyoji's bed. You play the guitar? Yeah, why else would I have one sitting in my Hey, don't touch it! Ignoring Kyoji's protest, Yoshiki sits on the side of the bed, picks up Kyoji's guitar, and begins to pluck strings. Kyoji initially lunges towards him to snatch the guitar out of his hands, but then he finds himself stopping. He's good. Kyoji's lost for words. He's absolutely wowed. It's the first time he's heard such skillful playing of the guitar live. Yoshiki looks like he was born to hold a guitar. It's clear he's quite experienced with it. But more than anything, the sound he produces from the guitar are breathtaking. They're completely different from when Kyoji plays it. It's a stark reminder of how unskilled Kyoji still is. Remember, Yoshiki is the man that Kyoji wants to be. After playing for a while, Yoshiki lets out a small sigh. I've gotten rusty. As he whispers, traces of a pained smile on his lips, he hands the guitar over to Kyoji. You've got a good guitar. Kyoji accepts the instrument with a frown. This man really rubs him the wrong way. He's damn good with a guitar, though. He'll admit that much. There's something I wanted to ask you. What? After all that questioning, there's still something you want to know? Kyoji asks in a sulking tone. Yoshiki crosses his arms with a serious expression. This is important. More important than you can understand. Without his glasses, Yoshiki seems far more serious than before. He radiates an aura that brooks no argument. That girl you met, Yuka, are you sure her name isn't actually Yukari? Yukari? No, we only know her as Yuka. Right. Yoshiki pauses to think for a moment and then asks another question. His voice is so low it almost sounds like he's speaking to himself. When you went to this Yuka's mansion, was there something else in there? Something? Do you mean someone? Someone would do too. Was there anyone there besides that girl? We saw her mother there too, but, Kyoji remembers seeing the black cloth flapping behind Yuka's back. He didn't think much of it at the time, but was that actually Gore? So you did see something. Kyoji doesn't know how to respond to that. Telling him about Gore would mean having to bring up the strange things that happened today at the bottom of the well. That thought makes Kyoji clam up, but he really needs to do that. This is the man that I think you can trust with knowing about Gore. This is very important. Yoshiki presses him relentlessly, his voice is deadly serious. I saw something, I think. A tall man in black wears a weird mask. Kyoji raises his head swiftly. When his eyes meet Yoshiki's gaze, he gives the man a firm nod. I understand. That's all I need to know. Yoshiki gives a satisfied nod and gets to his feet. Before he steps back to the door, he looks at Kyoji over his shoulder. Oh, and I need to ask you one more thing. Don't tell Yumikawa anything about what I asked you. Okay, but why? She's better off not knowing. Her life will be more peaceful that way. What? Don't be overdramatic. Kyoji thinks about retorting that way, but the words don't leave his lips. The look in Yoshiki's eyes is so earnest, he can't even mock him. And also, never go anywhere near that mansion again. Will that make my life more peaceful? That's as far as he dares to go, and even then he says it with a smile, but Yoshiki only gives him an expressionless nod in response. Yes. The door closes with a click. Kyoji stares absently at the door for a moment, but in the end he just crawls back into his bed. Seriously, none of this makes sense. The fact that he can't make any sense of the situation he's gotten tangled up in unnerves him. The round what to say. The next day, he refused to go to school. His mother demanded to know why, but he refused to explain. By the following week, he transferred away. He parted ways with Akane without exchanging a word or without exchanging a word with or even seeing her after that. It all happened when we were kids. That's what he kept telling himself after he decided to go back to Kirihito. More than anyone else, he was to blame for hurting Akane. The humiliation, the shame, the self-loathing at his own weakness. Frustration, irritation, the whole jumble of feelings he had felt back then came back as vividly as if it happened yesterday. Why did he have to dream of it now after all this time? The blurry scenery of the shrine grounds began to warp before Kyoji's very eyes. Once again, he hears a faint voice, a girl's voice. Akane? The moment he calls out, the voice fills his ears with intense clarity. No, Kyoji, help me! A strange distorted organ sprouts from under Kyoji, pressing against Akane's belly. The thing that pushes in and out of Akane is something he's seen before. The slimy mass makes disgusting, squelching noises as it violates her. Akane's cheeks are flushed red. Her eyes glisten with arousal. A voice speaks up right behind Kyoji. Wonderful, delectable, very delicious. A girl's no good if she's not horny. Is she tasty now? Leaving her down there to ferment really was a good idea, Gore. Yuka stands behind Akane, sneering at the two of them. Before Kyoji realizes that countless tentacles have engulfed his body, all of them swarming towards Akane. Don't! Okay. Next day.